Today's episode is brought to you by Bululu Studios. Bululu Studios is a small event space located in Savannah, Georgia. It is the perfect location for MFA thesis shows. For more information, please visit bululustudios.com. That is BULULUstudios.com.
Welcome to The Strand. My name is Kevin, and last week I was able to travel up to a very small agricultural community called Lake City, South Carolina. This is the home to Art Fields, an annual art event that celebrates Southern artists. This year's event runs from April 26th through May 4th. And if you find yourself at Art Fields, you can view my installation titled P.S. Don't Forget to Breathe. It is on display at The Continuum, located at 208 West Main Street. This episode of The Strand is a conversation that I had with Jamison Kerr, the Art Fields Director of Art Town Development. Listening to her talk about how great Art Fields impacts Lake City and the South as a whole was a pleasure. Learn more about Art Fields by visiting artfieldssc.org. Upcoming episodes of The Strand will include conversations with artists who are participating in the 2024 Art Fields event, but I also have a couple of episodes with other key members of the Art Fields team. So stay tuned for those conversations. Lastly, you can find me on Instagram at Kevin Will Paint. And now here is my conversation with Jamison Kerr. Jamison, thank you for spending some time with me today. It's nice to speak with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get to know you better through this and for you to be able to learn a little bit more about what we have going on here in Lake City.
Yes. What do you do in Lake City?
Well, what do I do? Oh my gosh.
What do you like to do?
The amount of hats that we all wear in Lake City. So I moved to Lake City about 5 years ago, but
from
Florence. So I'm from the area.
That's like 30 minutes away,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, about 30 minutes. Yep. And I had very like grand plans to leave South Carolina.
Where'd you want to go?
To D.C. or to New York, to where I could go to big museums. And I guess I thought sorting slides in a closet, you know, whatever I could do to get near and be around more art. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Florence County, and so I know how much it lacks cultural experiences. And I was really lucky the second year of Art Fields in 2014 to be able to do an internship. And so I came over here. I met with this group of women that just blew my mind, because I was like, I thought that there was nothing here in this whole like area. And it just like, it kind of, the whole world exploded and became like new for me, because I realized that, you know, we all have measures and dreams and like ideas of what success will mean for us. And I had it so ingrained in my head for so long. And then I realized that if I could do something special in a place that people had already counted out, that would be more fulfilling for me than to go and be a little tiny fish in a big pond. And so I've been super, super lucky to be here for a decade at this point and have gotten to watch Art Fields in Lake City grow and change. And I've had an incredible opportunity for developing myself and to be able to watch myself grow and change along with it. And so I started off, like I said, as an intern, and I've done some graphic design. I've done curatorial aspects of things in the organization. I have done a lot of project management for public art projects around town. And I was the director of Art Fields for 3.5 years. And as we approached the 10th year, we did strategic planning.
And when did it start?
So it started, the first one was in 2013.
Oh, okay.
So plans really kicked off. Things started to really change here prior to that. But the first competition and festival happened in April of 2013.
Gotcha.
So we did like this intense strategic planning process of surveying and interviewing artists and community members, and I was able to help write that plan. And we established kind of three pillars of what we held to be like the most important aspects of what we do. And the first was Lift Up Lake City. The second was Celebrate Southern Art. And the third was Build a Year-Round Art Town. What I didn't know when I was writing this strategic plan was that I was also writing myself a new job description, because when we realized the opportunity we had, the decision was made to kind of divide and conquer. And so my job changed to Art Town Development. So my task now is really thinking about how this can be a place that there's opportunities for creatives and for our community to grow every day of the year.
And so what are some of those things that have been implemented to allow that to grow?
So the very first thing was developing and building artist studios.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the reason for that, is that when we asked artists who had moved here completely on their own without us, you know, hounding them like, hey, don't you want to move in next door? They just started to see this as a place that they could see themselves, you know, all the time. And so we went to some of those people and we were like, well, what do you need?
And studios.
And it's an artist, more of them.
Yeah.
Like, it's more artists.
Oh, gotcha.
And yes, studios, and making sure that we have places to gather.
Like an art community.
Yeah, exactly. Like the coffee shop, we got Baker Suites. That'll work for now, even if they close in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And, you know, that like we can fill the gaps to get by on everything else. But if there aren't more of us to help push it forward, then this is never going to pick up and like have the momentum that
it's the roots it could. of Art Fields, right?
Yeah.
The community of artists that you hope to stay here.
Yeah.
That's the root.
Yeah. Because and it's funny you say that, like the dandelion has been our logo all along.
Oh yeah.
And like literally our strategic plan, we named it Taking Root. So like either you
it's
really
working.
Did your
I understand.
Homework
no.
Or we're doing a great job of communicating kind of within the metaphorical, you know, you think about a dandelion and you think about a puffball and about how like dreamy and full of wishes and all of that, like really nice stuff. And we've done that with the competition for sure. We've like blown the seeds of what this could be all over the South.
Mm-hmm.
I love gardening. And I think that like even more impressive than the puffball is the root system of a dandelion and the tenacity of a dandelion. And, you know, a weed to some people is a flower to others.
Yeah.
And so it may be super cheesy and woo-woo, but like I really think that that symbol has been such a guiding force for us. And so Taking Root, yes, absolutely. This is the roots that can sustain what we do and help us grow.
I have a side story. I currently live in Savannah,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of artists sell their goods in the central park of that city, Forsyth Park. And there's one artist that sells wishes and their dandelions, the puffs.
Oh my gosh.
It's hilarious. Like he has a sign on his Instagram. I can't remember his name, but that's his jam, is selling wishes for a quarter.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, isn't it just like, nothing has value until we assign it.
Yeah.
And so that's a funny, like, it's
and it
like
ties into what you're saying. Weeds are flowers to other people, and flowers.
Yeah.
Are
like and
putting value on something.
Mm-hmm. And you know, we like discount things because
you don't get it. You don't understand it. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like a, or because it keeps popping up.
Yeah. That's true.
And it's not something that you can control. And I think we all think, us humans have a pretty bad habit of thinking that we are here to control things. And I think dandelions and art fields and creative people in general are reminders that sometimes the best examples are things that happen without
naturally,
us having any control.
Organically.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm with my own work. I have a vision of what I want it to do, but I can't really solve the problem the same way every time that I'm installing my work. So I just have to have a big, you know, kind of big picture of what I want it to be, but then just let it happen and hopefully just figure it out whenever I'm making it.
Like strong beliefs, loosely held.
Yeah.
You know, like so that you can best seize the opportunity that you have in the space that you're in.
Yeah.
And
I read this morning an artist posted on Instagram saying, have faith in your ideas. And I thought that was maybe it's applicable to what we're talking about.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because it's so easy to think that things are impossible because the people around you don't have the experiences you have to see the vision that you have. And, you know, but we are all coming into everything with a set of slides in our little brains that mine's different than yours. And so what may seem like obvious to you may feel like a huge stretch for somebody else because of the, you know, what brought you to where you're having that conversation in the first place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess how can people find the organization or maybe your, I don't know if you have a social media presence or maybe can you just let people know?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the Art Fields competition, which happens every year in the spring here in Lake City, we accept applications September 1st through November 1st. And you can find out lots of information about how to apply the rules and all that good stuff on our website, artfieldssc.org. And we have great social media presence to kind of keep people informed about what we've got going on here. And as we continue to expand opportunities throughout the year to artists and other creatives, you can check out the Instagram and Facebook. They're both ArtFieldsSC. And yeah, I mean, I think just follow along and see how it grows and see how you can see yourself as part of it, because there really is, there's opportunity and room for everyone here. And I think it's just, you know, the competition will come back again and again. And so whether you have work ready now or you want to start on a big project for the next cycle, you know, just consider it, because I do think it's a, not only a great opportunity with great prizes and all of that good stuff, but it's also a way for Southern artists to find community.
Can you talk a little bit about the week or so that surrounds the Art Fields competition?
Yeah. So during the festival and the competition, we have tons of separate kind of like satellite events. We have a portrait contest. We have artist talks. We have plein air painters, and there's a competition for plein air artwork. Hmm. We have lots of stuff for kids to do and activities for kids. We have a junior competition as well as the adult competition. And then, you know, we have music and throughout the 9 days, and the businesses all, you know, what I think is really the best part of all of it is the whole town. This is such a Southern thing, but it's like we are all getting ready for company and everybody's out sweeping their, you know, their doorways and getting ready. And the business owners are so, and our volunteer group too, they're so excited to just meet people and tell them about what we're doing. And I think just exploring from one venue to the next and getting to meet people from all walks of life that have all come together for this thing, everything else is icing on the cake. But to me, that's the best and like most fulfilling part of what we do is the collision of like our community and all of this creativity and how
they've
embraced it. Yeah.
I guess some people might not know what Art Fields is, and maybe I can try to describe it from my perspective and you can correct me.
Yeah.
All right. So artists and creative people submit their work online to a platform, the website, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Art Fields receives all that data, and then the community comes to Art Fields and they look through binders, I'm thinking.
Yep.
And then let's say I own a coffee shop and this one particular artist makes coffee cups or whatever. So then I would have their art shown at my work, at my establishment. And then the artist and the owner of that, or the coffee shop owner, they split the funds to any profits made. Mm-hmm. And then somehow within that week, there's a juror system or jury, mm-hmm. And they go throughout all of these establishments and view the work. And then I guess there's levels of winners, or mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah. And the only thing you've missed is that when we get all the applications, we do have a selection panel that narrows it down. So mm-hmm. they rate everything from 1 to 10. We take those averages and around 400 is where we try to get.
Yeah.
And we look at the averages and select that many. And okay. those are the ones that are accepted.
How many were submitted?
Well, we don't give the exact number, okay. but it's over 1,000.
Right. Gotcha.
Considerably.
Yeah.
It's typically, I would say, our sweet spot is between 12 and 15 100 submissions. And so we've gone above that. We've definitely, especially in the beginning, been below that.
Yeah.
But that seems to be a good amount where we have a really great quality exhibition. But it's not thousands of people getting turned away, because that doesn't feel good for anybody.
No, no.
And that's not the spirit of what we're trying to do either.
Right.
And so we have that panel that does everything totally remotely online. And then we have a separate panel that comes during the event. And yes, they go into every space. They're required to view every artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then they select the majority of the prizes. But we do have two prizes that are based entirely on votes from visitors.
Okay. How do the visitors vote?
So people can pre-register on our website, mm-hmm. and then you go into one of our activation stations, mm-hmm. and you just say, this is my name, I've already registered, can you activate my vote? And then you can text to vote, and you can vote for as many pieces as you want, but you can only vote for one. You can only vote once per piece.
I gotcha.
And we make it so that people have to actually come and be in person, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't become like an American Idol thing where, you just have one really lucky person who has a lot of people that want to help.
A popular person.
Yeah. And that it can't be done, unless you have come and made the effort to be here and to see more than just, the one piece.
Right.
When
we were talking off the mic, you mentioned there's, I think, an app that you have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about
that?
Yeah,
I'd love to. So Bloomberg Connects is the app, and they have guides all over the world. And we were really, really lucky to be one of the first in the South. We were the first in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia. Miami beat us, and I just can't even handle it. I mean, I guess I understand. But we were very close to being the first from the South. And so the Bloomberg Connects app is a philanthropic kind of initiative, I think really spurred by the pandemic of, you know, how do we create more access for people to be able to see culturally significant things, but also how do we, it's not me, like I just love it so much, I count myself as part of the Bloomberg team at this point, but how do they can help nonprofits and cultural institutions broaden their audiences beyond who has the like capability and proximity to be there in person. And so it's really wonderful because it's helped us to create a guide where our public art information is on there. And so,
so it's an app, you download it on your phone probably, and then people can access maybe murals,
yeah,
or different art, public artworks.
Public artworks, and everything for the competition is loaded in there.
Okay.
So you can search by venue, like the area where you are, or you can search by artist's last name. There's a great interactive map within it so that you can see what's in the spaces that you're around. And so it is an amazing tool for the competition and festival, but it's also a great tool for us as we are trying to expand our presence to more year round.
What was the name of it again?
Bloomberg Connects.
Bloomberg Connects. So maybe I've neglected to ask an important question this far into the interview, but I'm just going to do it now. How did Artfield start? What is art? Like, yeah, how did it start?
Well, we... Okay, so Artfields, I'm going to say we again, even though I was not a part of the beginning of it, but I am so in it that I'm like, I was there. Yeah. I just was there in spirit and I didn't know I was there yet. So Lake City, South Carolina, is a place that is similar to a lot of other small southern towns that... You know,
what's the population general? Like,
it's
sort
of 6,000 ish.
Yeah.
And it's a tiny town that, like, the train goes right through the middle of it. And that's because it was built around agriculture. Mm. One of our event spaces is called the Bean Market because it was the biggest green bean market in the whole world at one time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so, the agricultural industry here was so successful that the Great Depression really didn't touch Lake City because it was so self-sufficient mm-hmm. at that time. But as is true with many, many, many other small southern towns, when that was no longer a relevant path because tobacco changed and we had some... there were like fires at a warehouse and like it just like I think farming became so much more centralized and monopolized and all of that. And so there was really nothing left here for people to be proud of, for people to make any money doing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I'm not going to pretend like that farming and agriculture doesn't create like that has created a lot of really heavy memories mm-hmm. and the way that that affected our community is the same as it would affect any community, that there were the haves and the have-nots, and that only became more exaggerated after that industry really left.
I see.
The people who could leave left, or, you know, a lot of the people that stayed is because they had deep roots here and all of that, and but there just wasn't a lot for Lake City to hang its hat on. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of dead. And 15 years ago, Main Street really didn't have any activated businesses. Joe's Barbershop was there. There were a couple.
Is it still there?
It's still there.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. So it's, and he is like a venue that you cannot miss. He's, it's just so much fun. And Joe is wonderful. But I mean, like, really, there was not a lot going on coming from Florence, which is the county kind of seat, and larger than Lake City, I always thought it was a small town until I came here. But Lake City was the place that I like would pray I wouldn't break down on the way to the beach, because it was kind of like didn't have a great reputation. There wasn't anything here. And so
Lake City, and I've only been here a day, and my view of the city, there's just maybe a corridor, a downtown corridor that's four streets ish, something like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't venture off too far off from Main Street. And then around that is definitely, the further you go out is more agricultural, but there's suburbs, if I could use that word.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like we started in the business area.
Uh-huh. Because
Artfields. I mean, like, well, Artfields and kind of the development of Lake City was concentrated more where businesses, especially local small businesses, could be and thrive. And so we started because we wanted to breathe new life into this place. And I think, you know, there's a conversation about what are our assets. Our people are our best assets.
Yeah.
We also know that while we're not right off of interstates, we're accessible, where people can still get to us. The footprint is small enough that you can make a really big impact. And there were lots of conversations, I'm sure, but one led to a discussion of Art Prize in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And so the team at that time were tasked with going to visit. And I think that a lot of inspiration obviously was drawn from what they did there. But Grand Rapids, Michigan is not Lake City. And so there were a lot of adaptations to better suit our community and to make it an experience that's unique.
Mm-hmm.
There is also like a really strong focus and belief that Southern artists are severely underrepresented in the greater art world. And that there's a lot of stories to be told by the people who are living those stories, and not just, you know, observers from the outside talking about the South, but real Southern people sharing their stories, or people who are not from the South but have moved here and have stories to tell about that. And so I think, you know, the deliberate inclusion of 12 Southeastern states was really an important piece. And then a look at what would be best for this community. And for me and for, you know, much of the team, that has been a guiding thing, is the balance between serving our community and serving the community of artists in the South. Is, again, that's the magic of it. It's when we get off kilter that we need to like relook at what we're doing. But as long as we can find ways that it benefits both of those audiences, I think we have found success and growth. You know, this is an area where there have been years where we haven't had an art teacher, you know, and we will have graduating class that has come and been able to participate and been a part of a field trip to Artfields every year.
Mm-hmm.
What will that mean for those kids? How will they view the world as compared to, you know, people who graduated before it even started? And not just that, like that their vocabulary for art has expanded and their not as intimidated to go into an art gallery, but also like being proud to be from Lake City makes, I think, like people proud to be who they are. And if we can give that to the people here, like how much, I can only imagine the positive impacts that we will see continue to unfold and come back. But I really, I just hope that we have, that the paths to Lake City are very well worn by 2030, and that we will continue to be a place, and even more so be a place, that artists feel home, like they feel at home here. And even if it's not where they live every day of the year, that they always know that coming here means being able to find their people. And that's not a visual that you can, that I'm not like drawing some kind of image in your head, but that is the most important thing to me, is that we can, more people see it as a refuge, if nothing else, you know, a place that we can talk about art and we can explore new ideas and we can share with each other and make the world a little better.
Jameson, thanks for spending some time with me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have been able to talk to you and to share a little bit more about something that I think is truly remarkable and special. And I'm just so happy that you're a part of it. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting in your piece right now, which is really cool. And I'm
happy to be a part of it too. I'm doing my best to, I guess, make hay, as they say.
Yeah. You know,
I have podcast equipment, so I thought, well, maybe I'll make hay, you know,
yeah,
just talk to anybody about, you know, that's in Lake City. I've talked to a few other people that aren't necessarily affiliated with art fields, but it's just neat. I'm getting a slice of life in Lake City.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's something that I think, because it is like, you're seeing it being molded, you know, you're seeing the work in progress. Like, I am sitting in your work in progress, but yeah, you're also sitting in mine.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really, it's really special to be able to share it with you and with everybody else. And so I'm grateful for any opportunity to talk and talk and talk and talk about art fields.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.